translation by Srila Prabhupada. All different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Chaitanya, this is a very long purport where Prabhupada is explaining each and every verse. So this will need your attention. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmaram Shloka very vividly before his chief devotee Srila Sanatana Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the shloka, namely Atmarama, number 2, Munayo, 3, Nirgrantha, 4, Api, 5, Cha, 6, Urukrama, 7, Kurvanti, 8, Ahitukim, 9, Bhaktim, 10, Ittham Bhuta Gunaha, and 11, Hari. According to Vishwa Prakashit Sanskrit Dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmaram, which are as follows. 1. Brahman, the absolute truth. 2. Body. 3. Mind. 4. Endeavor. 5. Endurance. 6. Intelligence. And 7. Personal habits. The word Munaya refers to 1. Those who are thoughtful. 2. Those who are grave and silent. 3. Ascetics. 4. The persistent. 5. The mendicants. 6. Sages. And 7. Saints. The word Nirgrantha conveys these ideas. Okay, 1. One who is liberated from nescience. 2. One who has no connection with scriptural injunctions. That is, who is freed from the obligation of rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures, like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate, urchins, etc., who have no connection with regulative principles. 3. A capitalist. And also 4. One who is penniless. According to Shabda Kosha Dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of 1. Certainty, 2. Counting, 3. Building, and 4. Forbiddance. And the word grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. The word urukrama means the one whose activities are glorious. Krama means step. This word urukrama especially indicates the Lord's incarnation as Vamana, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading feature, he is everywhere, present in as a supreme truth. And in personal feature, he is always present in his transcendental abode of Golok Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else's, and therefore the word Urukrama is just applicable to him only. According to Sanskrit verbal arrangement, Kurvanti refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore, it means that Atmaramas render devotional service unto the Lord, not for personal interests, but for the pleasure of the Lord, Urukrama. Hetu means causal. There are many causes for one's sense gratification, and they can be chiefly classified as material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation, which are generally desired by progressive persons. As far as material enjoyments are concerned, they are innumerable, and the materialists are eager to increase them more and more because they are under the illusory energy. There is no end to this list of material enjoyment, nor can anyone in the material universe have all of them. As far as the mystic powers are concerned, there are 8 in all, such as to become minutest in form, to become weightless, to have anything one desires, to lord it over the material nature, to control over living beings, to throw earthly globes in outer space, etc. These mystic powers are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The forms of liberation are 5 in number. Therefore, Unalloyed devotion means service to the Lord without desire for the above-mentioned personal benefits. And the powerful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, can be fully satisfied by such unalloyed devotees, free from all sorts of desires for personal benefit. Unalloyed devotional service of Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in the material field is of 81 different qualities. And above such qualities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhana bhakti. When unalloyed practice of sadhana bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins, gradually developing into nine progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feelings, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feeling of separation. The attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the stage of transcendental love of God. Attachment of an active servitor develops up to the stage of adherence, and that for a friendly devotee develops up to the stage of following. And the same is also the case for the parental devotees. Devotees in conjugal love develops ecstasy up to the stage of intense feeling of separation. These are some of the features of unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. According to Hari Bhakti Subodhaya, the import of the word Ittham Bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss in the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by a cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all taste, rasas. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation. There is no need of logical argument in support of this statement, but out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with the mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality, while another is attracted by another. Great sages such as four bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves anointed with the pulp of sandalwood offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Sukadev Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Sukadev Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of pastime has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts in special cases the mind of all young girls. He attracts the mind of the elderly ladies by parental affection. He attracts the mind of the males in the humors of servitude and friendship. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that he, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure devotion, pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee. And the result of nine devotional activities, such as hearing and chanting, becomes manifested. By his personal feature and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any of the four principles of religion. These are the attractive features of transcendental attributes of the Lord. And adding to this, the words api and cha, one can increase the imports unlimitedly. According to Sanskrit grammar, there are seven symptoms for the word api. So by interpreting each and every word of the shloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyant Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming for the Bhagavatam class today. I'm seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas gathered here. I'm not qualified to sit here on this Vyasasan, nor am I qualified to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. By the blessings of devotees, Srila Prabhupada and Guru, I'm able to render some service for my own purification and for the pleasure of all the devotees. Jai Shri Shri Radha, Gokulananda Bhagavan ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman ji ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki Jai. So this is the famous Atmaram verse, which is appearing in Shastras many times. When Sanatan Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain this Atmaram verse, he said that, now this is a lesson for me particularly, is that generally I'm not able to explain anything, but by the power of the association of you, I may be, something may manifest itself. So this is the transcendental humility that Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting. Following the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm seeking that if I speak anything meaningful, it is all by the association of all of you gathered here who is inspiring me to speak something nice in the glory of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So I'm seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So Sanatan Goswami approaches Lord Chaitanya, as I said, and Lord Chaitanya, he said that you have explained this to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the 18 meanings of Atmaram verse. Can you please tell me again what it is? I'm really eager to know. He grasps the feet of Lord Chaitanya and he's begging him. Then Lord Chaitanya starts explaining. He explains, like this verse says, that there are all different varieties of Atmarams. Now, Lord Chaitanya is explained in detail in the Madhya Leela, chapter 24. He's explained this verse in over 300 verses. So that is how long it took Lord Chaitanya to explain. He's gone into every word, okay, and different connotations of each word. And we've seen that. So this purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote is a summary of the entire 300 verses that Lord Chaitanya has spoken. So what was amazing for me is I've never heard, with my limited knowledge, that Lord Krishna or Chaitanya explaining a purport of a verse. We may have heard Krishna explaining Bhagavad Gita, but never a purport of a verse. So at least for my limited knowledge, I felt this was amazing, that when Lord Krishna wants to give a purport to a Shastra verse, how he goes. And Prabhupada says this shows the scholarship of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada clarifies, Lord Chaitanya is not ordinary scholar, but he is the source of everything. But here we see that how, because it is said that Srimad Bhagavatam is every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Krishna. So how one should actually, every syllable we should carefully study and try to understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, that how he, when he was asked to explain a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, how he went to the every word and every syllable and different meanings he could come out with. And though all of these meanings were not something he concocted, all the meanings were from the Shastra, from the dictionary, the Sanskrit dictionary. So that is a standard that Lord Chaitanya has given us to understand Srimad Bhagavatam in detail. So this 61 Atmaramas, so Lord Chaitanya explained this Atmaramas in 61 different meanings. He explained that 7 of these Atmaramas are the impersonalists, 6 of them are yogis, and then he goes on to explain, then there are different kinds of, like, people who are who are mental speculators. There are such kind of devotees. Then he says that the other two categories are the one who following sadhana bhakti. Second is the one following raganoga bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. And then he divides this two into 32 categories. So these two, he says, is gross definition of Atmarams. And then each of them splits into 16, which is subtle qualities. So like that, there are 60, he explains, Atmaramas. And finally, he says that another meaning of Atmaramas is Krishna and his expansion. So that is how he completes 61 different meanings he gives. And then this verse says also, there is one more point. Lord Chaitanya is explaining that the impersonalists or yogis, they cannot achieve liberation by this method, by their practice of method alone. They have to come to the point of performing some devotional service. Only then they get the liberation. So one can continue, they can continue meditating on the impersonal or the Paramatma, but they will not get the result. They have to do a little bit of devotional service to attain the liberation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes he quotes this verse saying that even the impersonalists who are absorbed, who are merged into the impersonal Brahman, they also get attracted to Lord Krishna's pastimes. And then they take up the deity, then they start worshipping the deity and render devotional service. Now this verse is not from the Vaishnava Shastra. This verse is from Shankaracharya's commentary on Narasimha Tapani Upanishad. So this is straight from Shankaracharya saying that even the impersonalists who are absorbed, who merge into the impersonal Brahman, they have to come to the, they also get attracted to Lord Krishna's pastimes. So that is the power of Krishna's pastime. So these pastimes of Krishna, or the activities of Krishna, are not material. If it was material, then why the Atmaramas, who are self-satisfied, they have nothing to gain from this world, okay, they have nothing to do with this world, nothing excites them over this world, they will not get attracted. So this pastimes of Krishna is pure transcendental, and it's pure bliss, which can attract even the Atmaramas, who are self-satisfied. These Atmaramas, there's nothing excites them. But hearing the pastime, even the impersonalists who are absorbed in Brahman, they also get attracted to Lord Krishna's pastime. But when these impersonalists, when they are worshipping deity, Prabhupada clarifies that their objective is not to go to Golok Vrindavan. Their objective is go to the impersonal Brahman. Still, that thing remains. So that's something that Prabhupada clarifies. And so these Atmaramas, the next is the Munayo. Munayo means the sages. And then Nirgrantha. Nirgrantha means the one who has freed from all bondage. All of these great personalities, okay, who have nothing to do with this material world, are simply attracted by Krishna's pastime. And they want to render devotional service. That is a very important point. And Prabhupada explains what are the different, there are 9 processes of devotional service, and any one of them can give us the benefit of love of God. But Krishna doesn't give the perfection of devotional. The devotional perfection, Krishna doesn't give easily. There are 2 criteria to be met in order to receive that devotional perfection. The first criteria is one has to be attracted to Krishna. One can perform devotional service for the rest of his eternity, but Krishna will not grant him the devotional perfection unless one is attracted to Krishna. So that is the first qualification. Second is Krishna doesn't give that devotional service easily. And Prabhupada explains that if one wants to attain devotional perfection, one has to be sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives. So this is what the verse explains. Ahitukim bhakti. So this is how unmotivated bhakti we need to perform. Only then we'll get the result. Otherwise, we can carry on doing devotional service, but we will not get the devotional perfection. So this qualities of Krishna, it is said that the Atmaramas also want to render service. And Prabhupada gives, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives certain examples. He gives the examples of, first the example of the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras were completely self-satisfied, Atmaramas. But when they visited Vaikuntha and they smelled the fragrance coming from the lotus feet, from the tulsi leaves, emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Vishnu, they got completely attracted. So by the smell of Krishna's the tulsi leaves at Krishna's feet, they were attracted. Then the next example is Sukadeva Goswami himself. He was a monist, completely self-satisfied. But when he heard about Srimad Bhagavatam, he got so attracted. He completely changed and he became a pure devotee. So, and then the example of gopis are there. The gopis were attracted by Krishna's form. Then the example of Rukmani is there. Rukmani got attracted by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. So like that, there are so many examples. Then there is example, Prabhupada says that the elderly ladies are attracted by parental affection. The males are attracted in the mood of a servant or a friend. So like that, this qualities of Krishna is so wonderful. And Krishna has the ability to manifest a unique quality, a unique form, and a unique activity for the pleasure of one individual soul. In this room, maybe there are around 40, 50 souls here. In this room, there is a lot more if we can count all the living creatures. Like that, in this whole temple, temple complex, there are hundreds and thousands of souls. And in this UK, there are so many hundreds and thousands of souls. This planet, there are so many souls. This Earth planet, there are so many souls. And then if you look at the universe, there are so many planets, and all of them has different souls. And the entire universe has multiple universes. The entire material creation has multiple universes. There are so many souls. And Krishna's quality is so unlimited that he can manifest a unique quality, form, and activity for the pleasure of individual souls. He has unlimited capacity to reciprocate, to give the pleasure to the individual soul. But the problem is we don't have that capacity to even accept that little ecstasy that Krishna is trying to give us. So this is at least my problem. Not being attracted to the pleasure, to the pastimes of Krishna. So from our individual perspective, we can see that, and also from preaching perspective, the best gift that we have, the most precious gift we have got, is Krishna himself. I mean, for our own individual purification, if we can hear about Krishna repeatedly, like all of you are doing every day, we can develop that attraction for Krishna. And also when we are preaching, we can talk about many things, but the one thing that will attract all living souls and what they are all looking for is Krishna and Krishna's wonderful qualities. If we can package it somehow, I mean, we can package it in different way, yoga, this and that. But if the substance is Krishna, and if we can present Krishna to the world, all the souls will get attracted, because that is what they're looking for. So that is, so that I found was a very significant point. I think we're running out of time. I'll just speak about the glorious appearance day of Radhakund. So today is the 8th day of Kartik month on the waning moon. And the devotees in Vrindavan, Govardhan, they're celebrating Radhakund. Radhakund is the story behind Radhakund is that Kamsa sent a bull demon called Arishtasur to kill Krishna. He arrived around afternoon time, and Krishna killed Arishtasur. And in the evening, when he went to meet Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani saying, "Don't touch me, because you have killed a bull who belongs to the family of cows. So you have committed gohatya. You cannot touch me." So Krishna clarified that he is actually a demon. How can he say that I killed a bull? He was a demon. He was not a bull. No, she didn't accept. She's saying, no matter what, she came in the form of a bull. So you have to atone yourself. So Krishna asked, how should I atone? He said that Srimati Radhanani told him that you take bath in all the holy rivers of this world, and then you can be atoned. So Krishna kicked and manifested and dug the Shyamakund, and he invited all the personified rivers to come and fill the river. And then Krishna boasted himself that I have such a beautiful kund, and I'm so great in creating this kund. So Srimati Radharani said, okay, I will also create my own kund, and I'll show you that this will be the more munificent than your kund. So then Srimati Radharani and all the gopis broke their bangles and bracelets and tried to dig the ground, and they created the Radha kund, but there was no water. That was a problem. So they made a line, a chain up to Manasi Ganga to bring the water from the Manasi Ganga. But that was not enough. So Krishna offered that, why didn't you take some water from my kund? She said, no, I don't want it. Then Krishna urged all the personified rivers that, why don't you request Srimati Radharani to accept you all? So all the personified rivers, they prayed to Srimati Radharani, glorified her, that you please accept us. Then Srimati Radharani gladly accepted. And then there was a stream created to pass the water from Shyamakund to Radhakund. So earlier we heard about how Krishna's qualities and activities are attractive to everyone, including the Atmaramas. But Krishna is attracted by Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani has the power to attract Krishna, who is attracting the whole creation. So that is the power of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna declared that this Radhakund is most dear to me. And anyone who takes bath in this Radhakund will get the love of Srimati Radharani. So that is a glorious, that is the glory of Srimati Radhakund. After the disappearance of Radha and Krishna, this Radhakund disappeared. It was unmanifested from this world. So when Lord Chaitanya came, visited Vrindavan, he went looking, he started asking villagers, have you seen Arishtagram or Aritagram? Nobody could understand what is this place. I mean, and then he started asking, where is Shyamakund and Radhakund? Nobody had any clue. Then once he was meditating on Tamal tree, under a Tamal tree, he saw two small kunds, two very small ponds. And he took a bath in that. He was meditating on Radhakund and Shyamakund. Then he found the Shyamakund, Radhakund, and then he took a bath in a very shallow pond. The people around were laughing, and he said, what is he doing? This is not fit for bathing. But this is how Lord Chaitanya gave us the Radhakund and Shyamakund, which was further developed by Raghunath Das Goswami. Because when it was first developed, it was very small, maybe 12 feet or something, I heard. And then he knew that in the future, a lot of pilgrims will come to this Radhakund and Shyamakund. So he excavated it further and built a very massive kund that we visit today. So that is the mercy of the great devotees. So I'll stop here. It's time. I'll just ask for one question.